Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Earth 101. I'm your host, Leslie Draper, and the show is streaming live to you from Norman, Oklahoma, and I am glad that you are here. To start off, I'm going to let you know that I am alone in studio tonight, so it'll just be me manning all the controls. So if it's a little slow or I miss something, that would be why. I know several of you have been active in the group already saying that you're really looking forward to tonight's class, and so am I. So yay for us, right? Yay for us. So, you know what? We survived that Mercury retrograde, and that was pretty fantastic. You know, this one, the angels had been saying for quite a while that this particular one was going to be different, and they were right. It was very different. We still saw some of the same old issues with technology messing up and, that fun kind of stuff like technology and cell phone problems and, you know, the normal things we see with the Mercury retrograde. Now, you know, we enjoyed our fair share of that. But the flip side of it, and I totally forgot to send the call-in number to somebody. Let me do that. See, this is why I should not be left to my own devices, because I forget stuff. And I did have someone ask me for the number. Let's see, 929-477-771582. 929-477-1582. That is it. So, you know, we have that Mercury retrograde energy heading out, and I'm so very grateful that it is heading out because I'm just so over it. And now we have the new energy waves moving in, which is where we are now. It's a much, in some ways, the energy moving in is going to be, it will be a little more gentle in some ways, honestly, but in other ways, it's going to be still intense. So you might not feel that much of a change from last week to, you know, Mercury retrograde moving into not only Mercury direct, but the energy waves that we're in. So, you know, still make sure that you're clear on your communications. Make sure that, you know, you double check contracts before you sign them. Double check all of these things so that, you know, you're good. You know what it is that you want. Okay. All right. So continuing with the prayer request, tonight in the class, on the Facebook group, we had a couple of prayer requests. One of the more urgent ones was from our new member, Debbie. She has bronchitis and is having some lung issues. So if you would please send her lots of really good energy, lots of light and love so that she can move forward. And then also a couple of other people posted about having, you know, difficult weeks and having crazy interactions with people where maybe you don't feel like the relationships are in balance. And that's going on a lot right now. I'm actually hearing quite a bit of that. It's that you're waking up and you're realizing that for the last, you know, 6 months, 6 years, 6 decades even, that you have made yourself completely and totally available to someone to benefit them on their path. And the moment that you're in need, it's never reciprocated. Now, does that sound familiar to anyone? Well, that's pretty much what it is. And so you're seeing it with greater clarity, and so you're not going to put up with it. You know, you're going to be willing to say, okay, this relationship is completely out of balance, and I'm going to be the one to walk away from this relationship. Because if it's not a mutually beneficial relationship, then why be in it? If it's just you're always the one doing the giving, always the one doing the giving, and you're not getting anything out of it, then there's really no point in staying in it, right? Okay, so there's a lot of that going around, too. And I can tell you, honestly, that's been hitting my life for a while now, where I feel like I bend over backwards for people and then they're not there when I need them. And that's been a really eye-opening thing as well, to be able to put those boundaries up so that you can take care of you, you know, so that you can watch out for you and take care of you. Don't be afraid to put those boundaries up now. The whole point of moving into this age where we are is that we're able to assert ourselves, and we're able to say, hey, every relationship is going to have energy exchanges, every single one of them. So in order for those exchanges to be fair, this is what I need, okay? This is what I need. And so that's what you do. And you're very clear and upfront, this is what I need out of this relationship. And if I'm not going to get my needs met, then why am I in this relationship? All right. So let's move into something I haven't done for a little while, but I want to do a general reading for those that are listening. And the way this works is that spirit just puts it out there, and it'll hit on all the stuff necessary for those who need the message, okay? And so, and Melina just feels like all my relationships, but I'm okay now with moving forward. Boy, it is, right? Oh, those relationships. Okay, so that actually carries right into this card reading too. And actually, before we do that, let's talk for a minute about Oracle cards and what they bring to the table, okay? Because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and this is a conversation I have quite frequently with the Archbishop that I work with, because, you know, he's been taught for years that cards are very wrong, you know, that they're, and I'm not going to debate Oracle versus Tarot. That's not anything I want to touch tonight. But that they're wrong, and it's wrong to do them. It's wrong to use them. And what I will say is it is wrong to make any major life decision based on something as, and I don't ever think they're really random. You see, I think synchronicity is always there in the pool, but for lots of reasons, I would not base a decision, a big decision, on the pull of the cards, okay? Here's why. If you've ever taken a class with me on intuitive readings, you know this. The law of attraction is always working, always. So if I sit down with my Oracle cards and I shuffle them up and I say, okay, so, you know, let's say money, for example. I have a question about money. And in the deck, there's a couple cards that relate to money. Well, I'm going to pull those cards most likely, whether that's my message or not. Because the law of attraction is always there. It's always working. So I'm going to get a money message, whether that's my authentic message or not. So if you are someone that you feel like you have to ask the question before you pull the cards, disconnect from it, okay? Disconnect from it. Pull away from it so that you're not, you know, you're not holding that energy, okay? And so that way, whatever message you get, it's authentic. You can trust that it is legitimately your message. But if we're holding onto the cards and we're basically saying, please give me a card about money, please give me a good message about money, please give me something about money, law of attraction says you're going to pull that money card, okay? You're going to pull it because the law of attraction is always working. And so, you know, it's a good idea to take a big step back and, you know, say, what are my highest good messages? And it's the same thing, in my opinion, is if I'm holding a book and I'm really needing some piece of inspiration and I just open up randomly on a page and something in there pings for me, you know, that's the same type of thing as Oracle cards, in my opinion. It's the same type of thing. And so, you know, I don't see anything negative or wrong with them. I think of them as a place to start for guidance, not as the guidance. Okay, it's a thing that kind of opens the door. And if you've ever had an intuitive consultation with me, you know that we usually start with Oracle cards because it does two things. One, it's you giving me permission to enter your energy, your life, and your soul work. Okay, it's symbolic. You pull those cards and lay them on the table, you're giving me permission to go in there. Okay, two, it gives your energy a very practical way to be involved. Okay, so it's your energy throwing the cards down. Once the cards are down, that signals my brain to start hearing, okay, here's what the angels have to say. And we may go in sideways information from the cards. The cards are just supporting evidence. They're not the actual message. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Okay, so I don't see anything wrong with them as long as they're used in the proper context. You know, and that's something we need to work on together, is using them in the proper context so that they can be used as support for a message and not, you know, as the actual message. So your journey card, there are some big things on these cards. I mean, it's all about discernment and knowing what's for you and what's not. If there's one thing I want to say for the next week, maybe even the next month, have a clear idea of what you want and what you don't. And don't take what you don't want. Don't say, well, I better take this because what I want isn't going to come along. No, no. Now is not the time to do that, okay? Now is not the time to do that. So your journey cards, the first one is called Between Worlds, okay? Between Worlds. And it literally means you have a foot on the physical plane and a foot on the energy plane or the spirit plane, okay? And you're just kind of shifting your weight back and forth, figuring out how to do this. You see, we create on the energy plane, and then we can pull that in and manifest it in the physical, on the physical plane. And so it takes living in both. I say, well, oh, that's kind of ungrounded. Yeah, it is. It's hard to get grounded when you're doing it. But one of my favorite Abraham quotes is, prepave the way with thought. Prepave the way with thought. And this is that you figure out what it is that you want. You're going to visualize it. You're going to picture it in your mind. You're going to know what it's going to feel like when you manifest that thing. And that way, when it comes time to actually physically doing it, you've already worked it all out in your mind. Okay, it is. And on the card thing Melana wrote, I feel like I could bring, I typically know what cards I'm going to pull. I feel like I could bring that card to me. I am the co-creator of my reality. That's exactly it. That is exactly it, because the vibration you're holding is what brings you the cards. It really and truly is. That's why we do need to be detached if we're going to pull cards. And this is why it happens if you don't get the cards clear enough. In between clients, I can have the next three clients pull from the same deck, and they will pull every card identical because they didn't get them clear enough. And that energy was in the cards, it's in the chair, it's on the table, it's just all over. And there's that energy, and there it is right in the story. So we do want to make sure that they're clear and that you really are detached from whatever cards you get. We can all shake a magic eight ball and say, please say yes, please say yes, please say yes. If you want to truly receive the guidance, you have to be open to whatever it is. And angels only work from a place of love. So the truth is that they only work from a place of helping you navigate. So if you have something difficult coming in, they're going to give you the wisdom, love, and support you need to navigate it. They're not going to give you scary messages, because angels just do not do that. Okay? All right. So between worlds, the second card is milk and honey. And, of course, this is the promised land. It says, don't give up. The good is coming. Don't quit before the miracle. You know, the most common mistake I see people make is they get all excited about changing their lives and, you know, maybe manifesting a new job or manifesting a new relationship. And they get all excited about it. And as soon as the new wears off, they're not so excited about it anymore. And they don't do the steps anymore. And then they get frustrated because it didn't work when they did it 3 days in a row. And, you know, they're not giving it a chance to work. And so this is the promised land. It is the rainbow, okay? The land of milk and honey. It's the rainbow. It's the promise that the good is coming. And, you know, I can remember several years ago, it was 2011, I was having it was a private conversation via email, not via telephone or anything cool like that, but it was a private email conversation with Doreen Virtue, who is one of my heroes. And Doreen said that Archangel Michael told her to tell me that there was nothing but rainbows and blue skies ahead. And it wasn't, and the whole reason I was having these private conversations with her is because I was in a really bad place. It was spiritually bad, physically, it was all bad. And it was a really difficult time. And I remember reading that email and looking around the place where I was living, which wasn't very nice. It was low income, subsidized apartments. It was really kind of a sketchy part of town, you know, looking at my life and where I was, thinking, I hope this isn't blue skies and rainbows, because if this is what he's talking about, I don't want it. You know, but I still remember that. I remember her saying that he promised that. So I held on to that. And, you know, life shifted very quickly after that. But I held on to that blue skies and rainbows. And it eventually got so much better. And there were lots of blue skies and lots of rainbows. So this is the same kind of promise to you, blue skies and rainbows, okay, knowing that they are on their way and they are coming. Now, the third journey card is a change in the wind. I love this card because it says, you know, the wonderful new change is coming in. The wonderful new change is coming in. Give it time. The wind's already blowing that direction, and you have it coming towards you. It's just not coming instantly. And so what these cards say is, you know, yes, what you're doing is changing things. You're rewriting your path. You picked up the pen, you're rewriting your story. Hold the faith, you know, hold the faith. Now, interestingly enough, your power card is not for you. That's the card, not for you. This is where that discernment comes in. This is where they're saying to you, don't take what you don't want. If you want it, let's say that you're trying to manifest a job that pays $25 an hour, okay? And you have your heart set on $25 an hour. That's the amount you want. That's what you are manifesting. And so a job comes in that's $20 an hour. You know, it's not quite, it's not even in the field you wanted to do, and it's not quite the right amount of money, okay? And so what are you going to do? Are you going to take it because you're going to say, well, it's close enough, right? It's close enough. I'll just go ahead and take this. Or are you going to hold out for what you want and say close, but not quite there, spirit, not quite there? This is the ability to discern what is not for you. Okay, now, this has been something that's been coming up a lot with clients, and that is you do really, really good. You know, you get on your path. Things are manifesting, things are aligning, you're feeling it, and then all of a sudden something bad happens, and it causes you to lose faith in the entire process. See, none of it was real. Look, such and such just happened. None of it was real. If it was real, such and such wouldn't happen. Well, what Spirit's saying to you is, no, wait a minute, this was really just kind of like a test of what if. How do you know you've really changed unless you've tested it? The test was you were to look at it and say, no, that's not for me. I choose to release that. I'm not going to dwell there. And I'm going to keep going and keep manifesting what it is that I want. That is my job. That is my purpose. And so that's what this is talking about. It's talking about that ability to recognize what is not for you, okay? What does not work for you, and to say that's not, you know, it's not what I want. And recognizing it and being willing to say no. You know, here's something I worry about, there are so many, and I'm going to use the term even though I don't like it, false prophets out there now. It's like somebody decided, let's go back to the 90s, okay? Do you guys remember in the 90s and the early 2000s as well, there were commercials, especially on during daytime TV. So those people that were like stay-at-home moms, you know, these commercials were all over, and it said make, you know, $25 an hour working on cruise ships and spas and whatever. Be a massage therapist, earn $25 an hour. And back then, you know, that was crazy, the thought of $25 an hour for, you know, not having a very profitable college degree or something. And so everyone decided that they were going to go to these schools and become certified massage therapists, which was great. Well, the next phase was Reiki. So Reiki became really trendy and really popular, and everybody wanted to go become a Reiki master. And so they did. And so this whole flood of Reiki people hit the market, and for $25, they would Reiki your wallet. For, you know, $30, they would Reiki your heart, they'd Reiki your relationships. I mean, I have seen offers to Reiki just about everything that you could Reiki. You know, I mean, it was a very bizarre thing to watch unfold. And I also saw people who were probably very well-meaning but transfer illnesses and conditions through those public Reikis. So, for example, a woman who had regular migraines was offering free Reiki, and a lot of people that were receiving it were ending up with the migraines, just like the lady had that did the Reiki. So it's not a criticism of Reiki at all. It is saying that it was something that has been misapplied in some situations, okay? And this is not a criticism of Reiki or those who use it appropriately. But it's that kind of discernment. And for whatever reason, when all that was going on, my discernment always said, no, do not sign up for free Reiki. Do not sign up to Reiki your wallet. Do not sign up to Reiki your relationship. Do not sign up to Reiki the full moon, the new moon, any of those little things that were going around. I mean, they were clever people, because I would get text messages on the new moon to Reiki my wallet. And on the full moon, I would get text messages offering to Reiki my releases. You know, and it wasn't a lot of money, $25, $30 or something, but still, it's a misapplication of the modality. And so it became trendy and it became misapplied. And that's what this discernment, this not for you, is. Know what's not for you. Have the ability to, if it doesn't feel right, that's your message. Okay, that's your message. So if it's someone offering to do a healing modality, and there have been many times I've had to remove attunements or healings off people who went to someone who was probably well-meaning but misapplied it and actually made them worse instead of better. And the same thing with a session, with an intuitive consultation. Sometimes they're brought worse than helped through an intuitive consultation. So that discernment of not for you is going to be very important. If it's not the right job, if it's not the right relationship, if it's not the right time, it's okay to say so. Okay? It's okay to say so. With that being in the power card position, this says it's a big deal. Okay? Being able to recognize that it's not for you is a very big deal. Be willing to walk away from that. Okay? If it's not for you, it's not for you. Let it go. All right, your insight cards are like the PS at the end of the letter. The first one is clean it up. Now, if you came to the full moon release last weekend, you left here with a little broom. And that's exactly what that little broom was for, clearing it up, sweeping after you, clearing up any karmic debt, clearing up any energy that's left over that needs to be addressed, that needs to be cleared. You know, one of the fastest and easiest ways to clear up anything like that is the end of every day. You know, at the end of every day, say, I forgive everyone, you know, that may have offended me or, you know, crossed me or stepped wrong in my day. I forgive everyone. And at the same time, I request forgiveness from everyone that I may have hurt their feelings or not responded to their text or hurt them in some way. One of the fastest and quickest ways is through forgiveness. I forgive myself and I forgive everyone else in return. One of the fastest ways is just to use that little metaphysical broom and sweep up after you. You know, forgiveness is the way to keep your karma clean. It's the way to keep that energy clean as well so that you can move forward. Not being so burdened, not being so weighed down. Now, the second card is message in a bottle. Now, this one is all about paying attention to message from spirit. You know, are you looking and are you listening? That's the question. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? And so this says spirit is always sending messages. Always. So are we listening? Are we listening? Are we paying attention? Are we doing what we need to do? Okay. So I was like 14 things in my head that came through right there. There have been some really powerful healings over the last week. There have been some really, really powerful healings, and there have been some really powerful, what I want to call them, awarenesses that come in and shine light in the darkness, is I think what I'm trying to say here, to shine light in the darkness. You know, one thing to think about, too, as we move through this, is everybody needs a safe space, okay? I don't care if you are the most famous person or the most enlightened master on this planet. You still need a safe space to process, okay? So find it. It has to be a place that's safe for you, where you feel loved, you feel respected, you feel safe. If you don't have that, you are going to, Melina, you are going to not be able to grow as quickly as you could or move through things as quickly as you could. You do have to have the safe space to process. So find a friend that you can trust and maybe be that for each other. You know, I need a place to process, and do you need a safe space to process? And we could process with each other, and that would be just a great way of processing all the way through. Okay, and we're not going to stay in class very long tonight because I am pretty darn tired, as you can tell by my voice. I can hear my voice, and I'm thinking, ooh, it sounds tired. It is tired. It is very tired, but it's tired from a lot of really good work, not because of frustration. It's tired because it's just been a really crazy 2 weeks, and a lot of good things have happened, and a lot of wonderful processes have happened, and a lot of people are healing. So, but it is kind of exhausting. It is a wee bit exhausting, but it is all good. Okay, so moving forward, you know, the one thing I thought we would talk about tonight is, and it seems like I'm a broken record on it sometimes, and I know those of you that have got it, you know, like already got that, Leslie. I know that there's so many people who don't. You know, there are so many people who don't get it, and they're the reasons why I keep talking about it, okay? But it's about giving away our power. We give away our power in so many different ways that we don't even realize it. And giving away your power it's really one of the fastest ways to sabotage yourself. So let's talk about the difference between having a vent and giving away your power. Okay, this is important stuff here. If something just happened, I mean, it just happened, like 30 seconds ago or even 30 minutes ago, and you are emotionally reeling from it, you know, I mean, it just really just pissed you off, okay? Vent, you know, be angry. Say those ugly words if you need to. You know, if you need to use words to release what the energies that you're feeling, use them. If you need to punch a pillow, scream in a pillow, go right ahead. Do it. Let yourself go there, okay? But if it's been more than 30 minutes, you know, or maybe, you know, half a day, it may be a day for really bad ones. If it's been more time than that and you're still ranting and raving over it, you're not venting, you're giving away your power. There's a huge difference, and this is something I'm seeing a lot with clients, and it's to the point now where I'm going to have to start pointing it out more, because a vent is a short-term thing, okay, and once you're done, it should be done. If you do a proper vent on something, meaning, you know, it just, let's say that, I'm trying to think of something that is so far away from any truth that no one's going to think I'm talking about them, but let's say that, you have a best friend who, you know, anytime she needs you, you're there. Anytime, day or night, pick up the phone, she is there for you. I mean, you're there for her, always there for her. And then you're going through something, and it's pretty big. And then she tells you she doesn't have time for you. Or, you know, she's too wound up in her own drama to care that you're hurting too. Okay, so get angry. Vent. Once you've released those emotional charges, it's time to work on the healing side of this. And let's say maybe it's not even a best friend. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's or someone who's just an acquaintance that screwed you over on a deal. You know, maybe they got you to invest in their company or buy their stock or something, and you trusted this person because, you know, you've known them for a while, but even though you weren't that close and you thought they were on the up and up, and they just, you know, stole several thousand dollars from you, and you're just mad and you're angry at yourself, you're angry at them, and you just need to, you know, lose your stuff for a few minutes. Okay, great. Vent. Vent. Lose your mind. Vent. Be angry. Vent. Say ugly things. Vent. Hit a pillow. Vent. Once you're done there, it's not venting anymore. Okay? So if it's been 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months, and you are still working yourself up in a frenzy about it, that is not venting. You know, that's not venting. That is called giving away your power, okay? Melina wrote, vent to them or just in general, I vent to spirit, does that work? Yeah, it doesn't matter really. As long as you're venting it out, you're fine. And some people need to vent and others don't have as much need to vent. But what I'm really talking about is this new thing that I'm seeing with clients, and it is that, and it's not one or two, it's a lot of clients that are actually doing it. It is that they will basically relive a trauma week after week after week after week, and month after month after month, and sometimes even year after year. They are so fixated on some type of trauma, and they just keep venting about it again and again and again, and they get themselves all worked up, because they, you know, because they want to stay attached to that victim energy. Okay, because that victim energy is the thing that, you know, that, that they identify with. And so if something happened 3 months ago and you talk about it, you still feel the need to do a lot of name calling and a lot of cussing and a lot of anger stuff on it, that's giving away your power. That's what I'm trying to say. There's such a difference when it's new and it's fresh and it's raw and you need to vent, vent. Say it, get it out, don't hold it in, you know, go tell a tree if you have to, but then get it out. But if it's been weeks or months and you're still, you cannot tell the story without that low-life scumbag, you know, then you're giving away your power. Giving away your power, that's not venting. And so if we want to be powerful people and we want to create the world that we want and the life that we want, we have to be responsible for what we're creating. And when you are reliving this trauma again and again and again and again, and every time that you, you know, say those words that villainize that person and re-victimize you, again, it doesn't really matter if it's true or not, because you're feeding it to keep it alive. How can you heal from a wound that you are on a regular basis ripping it open and pouring salt in it? You know, I mean, it's really hard to heal a wound if you're ripping it open on a regular basis and pouring salt in it. And that's what we do when we relive it again and again and again. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, when it's fresh, you need to not talk about it and you need to get over it. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying that if, you know, Sue got a divorce, and she found out that her best friend, Jane, was having an affair with her husband. And for the first, you know, couple weeks, a couple months, anytime Sue talks about it, she's going to say that, you know, that lying slut Jane, you know, that lying slut Jane, she betrayed me. She, you know, was sleeping with my husband. I can't believe that. That's understandable, right? I mean, it was your best friend. That's a big betrayal. Understandable. But if 3 years down the road, we're still going, you know, I can't believe that lying slut Jane, that I think I named her Jane, right? That bitch Jane, that horrible person, that, you know, we're still reliving the trauma. So we're keeping it alive in ourselves. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Don't keep your traumas alive, and certainly don't give your power away to the person who victimized you. And that's what we do if we keep talking about it again and again and again, and we're calling them names and we're angry at them and we're cussing and we're screaming and we're yelling and we're getting ourselves all in a tizzy. Well, what you're doing is you're giving away your power. And that's not good. You know, that doesn't promote healing. That just promotes you know, the re-victimization, because you're keeping it alive. You're keeping it alive by replaying it again and again in your mind. So I hope that made sense. But it's a common thing. I'm seeing it here over the last couple of weeks. Clients have been bringing up, even it's like if they can't find something recently that they can hold on to the pain for, they go dig something else up, some old hurt, and bring it up and relive it. And, you know, what they're trying to do is find examples to explain the amount of hurt that they feel, but what they inevitably end up doing is recreating that betrayal, recreating that harm, recreating that trauma, and then they feed it, and then it takes off, and then it just creates more and more of it. So we have to find a way to vent, process through it, release it, and not give away your power, you know, and not give away your power, because that is something I'm seeing a whole lot of right now. If you are angry enough that, you know, that you're going to verbally attack the other person, and this has nothing to do with whether they deserve it or not, okay? But if you're angry enough that you're going to verbally attack the other person, you should know that that is giving away your power, because it implies to them that their words are more powerful than yours, okay? And that is it. Okay. So later, what is the best way to resolve old wounds that still hurt? Sit with them, you know, honestly sit with them. Everybody heals differently, so there is no cookie cutter answer here, okay? But sit with them. You know, sit with them, observe them, become the observer. Look at that pain. Is that a mosquito? What is that? I think that's a mosquito. Oh, you can't be in here, little mosquito. I don't know where it went now. Great. I'm going to be at dinner probably. And see, that's a terrible affirmation. Terrible affirmation. That mosquito is full and it has no desire to eat my blood. Okay. So, sorry. The best way to resolve old wounds is to sit with them. Be the observer. Try to see the soul contract and soul negotiation with them. I can give you a wonderful example, and it's absolutely true, okay? Many years ago, I had a best friend, and we hurt each other, you know, unintentionally and intentionally. You know, we were, I tell her all the time, she remains one of my greatest teachers because I didn't know how to be a good friend, and she didn't really know how to be a good friend either. So, you know, we kind of bumped around in the dark together. And even though we did generally care about each other, we hurt each other a lot too. And, you know, it was in her mind, you know, she thought I had betrayed her in a way that I didn't. I know exactly what happened, and I see how she thought it was me, but it wasn't me. So out of anger, she betrayed me in a way that she thought would hurt me back even more. And it was not good. Well, I'll tell you what, it was years and years and years ago, about, let's see, 2000, so 16, no, I'm sorry, started in 98. So from 1998 to 2001, I was a member of an infertility board, a message board. And we had become like a family, this group, you know, and we told each other everything. I vented all kinds of stuff about my family and all kinds of stuff about my husband's family. And because it was a closed forum, I never worried about anyone getting in there and reading it. You could not Google and find it. We never used names. Well, we used first names, but it wasn't even under my real name. So the fact that somebody could get in there and find it was bizarre to me. But she was my best friend, had access to my computer, everything. She had been going and printing my posts for years. Every time I vented about my husband's family, she printed it and saved it for years. The post went back more than four years. So this was so, so premeditated. And I said some not nice things because I was in a very bad place. I had MS. I was paralyzed. I was unhappy. I hated the world. And that reflected. And so to get back at me after she thought I had hurt her, she gave all of those posts to my husband's family. And they said, you either divorce Leslie or we're done with you. And he said, you know, Leslie shouldn't have posted that stuff on there, but not a single word of it is a lie. Every bit of it's true. And he chose to stand by me, and it was all true. It just wasn't very flattering. And I learned some really good lessons on that. And the truth is, I didn't betray her. I did not turn her in for the things she got turned in for, but I know who did. And I know why she thought it was me, because she thought I was the only one that knew. Now, with all that being said, you know, that pain really lasted for many years. And, you know, that was a very deep betrayal because this was my best friend all through college. We worked together. We sat next to each other, our cubicles, for years. So what I had to do was become the observer. And I had to see how we hurt each other. And the truth was, we did. We did. I may have been a victim in some of that, but I was also making her a victim in some of that. And I had to accept responsibility for my part of it. And that wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. But when I truly became the observer and I saw our soul contracts together, I got it. And then I started looking for blessings. And I'm happy to say that she and I, we're not best friends. We live on opposite ends of the country now. But we are friends, and we do talk. In fact, I talked to her this weekend, you know, and it was many years. It was more than 10, more than a decade before I could say I've made peace with that. So, you know, the thing is, you have to be the observer in these things that hurt. You have to be the observer. You can't get it through your human perspective. You won't be free. As long as you're looking through your human lens, you will not be free of these things. You have to put on those soul colored glasses, you know, S-O-U-L colored glasses. Take a big step back and look at it from a soul perspective. What was I supposed to learn here? What did I learn here? What am I going to take with me from this point on? And so we have to learn these things. We have to learn how to put on the soul glasses, take a big step back and say, okay, what did I learn? What did I learn? And the truth is, it's very rare that we're ever just the victim. Okay? I know it can happen. I know it can happen. But it is very rare that we're ever just the victim. Most of the time, we play a really big part on both. And, you know, in the exception of, you know, like children who are molested, children who are victims, in some cases like that, you know, we always participate on some level. And the truth is, as long as you're looking at it through a human ego, you're never going to see the perspective, ever. You're not going to see the perspective as long as you're looking at it through the human ego. You have to take that big step back, put on those soul glasses and say, what was the interaction here? And maybe, just maybe, you know, you're healing something from a lifetime ago, from five lifetimes ago. You know, maybe you agreed on a soul contract. I mean, soul contracts, they, from a soul perspective, they're awesome. From a human perspective, they can be messy, 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 messy. You know, think of everything that you've learned in this lifetime and what it's supposed to be preparing you for. I go back to that Wayne Dyer, where that Wayne Dyer thing where he said before he came to earth, he was walking along a beach with God, and God said, so Wayne, you're about to go down to earth for another incarnation. What do you want to do this lifetime? And Wayne said, well, I want to be a prophet. You know, I want to teach people about you, God. I want to teach people about you. And God looks at Wayne and said, well, if you're going to do that, then we better get your ass to an orphanage. Because if you're going to be a prophet and teach people about God's unconditional love, you're going to have to be learning from day one on this planet. And it is. So the family that you have and all the dynamics of that family were by design, not by accident. They were your first teachers, that family, your first teachers. So if you get so hung up in the hurts and so hung up in all the ways that, you know, oh, poor me, I was victimized, you're missing the benefits that get you to where you're supposed to be. You know, you're missing the big picture. And that's what we have to do sometimes. Stop staring at one tiny little piece of this puzzle, take a big step back and look at it all and be like, oh, well, when we compare this little piece to the whole puzzle, it's really not that bad. It really makes it worth it, right? And that's what we have to do. And so we have to make sure we're not giving away our power. So if we're reliving hurts, and we're reliving trauma, and we're reliving everything that could have gone wrong, did go wrong, will go wrong, and again and again and again, and we're cycling, and we're just stuck there, and we're stuck there, and we're stuck there, you're giving away your power. You can't possibly create anything but more of what you just went through, because that's where all your attention is going. Okay? So we have to be the observer in these moments. Look at it and say, what was I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to take from this? Because my bags are packed and I'm ready to go forward. You know, into the future I go, because I'm not staying here. Because here, uh-uh. So I'm going to put on my soul-colored glasses and I'm going to go into the future and I'm going to go into tomorrow and I'm going to figure out what it is I need to make this work. That's how we stay in power. But if you're, you know, losing your mind over it, you know, like, oh, I'm so angry and I'm reliving it and I'm reliving it and I'm reliving it, you're giving away your power. We have to learn. I mean, if you want to relive something, relive the winning moments. You know, relive the moments where you felt great. Relive the moments where, you know, you felt loved, you felt safe, where you felt good. You know, we're not taught to do that, but honest to goodness, we should be. We should be taught to do that from the beginning. If you're going to have a cycling thought, let it be a good one. If you're going to relive something, you know, let it be a happy moment. Let it be something that empowers you and makes you happier, makes you healthier. Okay, does that make sense? All right, let me take a quick drink here. This water bottle I bought makes lots of noise, and I'm sorry for that. All right, so moving forward, this is what we do, okay? We just keep moving forward, and you focus on what you want to create, what you want to see, and what you want to have. There are so many people right now that are kind of stuck in time loops. If you're reliving something from the past, you're not fully in the present, and then you are, you know, you're not, if you're not in the present, you're not accessing your power. Remember that. So if you're reliving the past, you can't be fully present, therefore, and you can only use your power in the present. Now, Melina just asked, I'm amazed you two can still be friends. How do you determine when it's time to cut people out of your life, or should you ever? There's lots of times you should. There's lots of times you should cut people out. Absolutely. And the question, if I had not got to the point where I could be the observer with that exchange, we couldn't be friends. But I can honestly tell you, even this weekend, I dreamt of her, and there were numbers all in the dream. And so I sent her a message and said, hey, dreamt of you last night. This is what I dreamt. And she wrote back and said, oh, my God, that's perfect for where I am right now. And I hadn't talked to her in a couple of months. So I had no idea what was going on with her. And the dream was just, like, perfect as far as what was going on. There are definitely times when you should cut people out of your life. And if you can't heal, then you should. Now, she was out of my life for a decade. For more than a decade, you know, she was out of my life entirely. And that's how it had to be, because we sure couldn't be in each other's lives, because I would relive the pain and so would she. You know, and, but we're old souls. We've done this before. And we made a really difficult soul contract with each other this lifetime. That's the thing to ask you, you know, to ask yourself in this moment. If I become the observer, you know, do I still see good in this person? And do I still think this person is someone I want to know? You know, actually, she gave me some of my favorite quotes, this friend did, okay? And one of them is, I don't have to like all people. You know, and that was a very foreign concept to me, because I grew up with a grandmother, not Lucy, the other one, who taught me that if I had hate in my heart, that I wouldn't get into heaven. And if I didn't let anyone in my life, that was hate, you know, because Jesus would want you to let everybody in. So the only way to prove to Jesus that you didn't have hate in your heart was you just let everybody in. You didn't tell no to anybody. So you never cut anybody out of your life, because if you needed to forgive them, because Jesus also wouldn't let you into heaven, you know, without forgiving people. So it just made me a doormat, you know, again and again and again. But then I got to a place on my spiritual journey where, you know, I was like, well, here's where I am. I can either be the observer and see this. Now, once you become the observer with these people, you know if you have more karma to complete. Our soul contract was done. We released it. So anything, any type of relationship we have now, it's free. It's whatever we want it to be. There's no more soul contracts and there's no more karma to work out. And so, you know, that's what you do. And I can honestly tell you, when I think of our relationship, I don't think of that bad stuff. I think of how many wonderful gifts she gave me. And, you know, one of them is you don't have to like all people, you know, and she was one of the very first people to say to me, Leslie, maybe we shouldn't be putting all these chemicals in our bodies. Just look at all the chemicals in one bottle of shampoo. And I was still fully kind of indoctrinated at that point. And I'm like, it's all deemed safe by the FDA or they wouldn't let you have it. You know, like, woo. So she gave me some really good things, and that's what I choose to take. And I do think of her so fondly. I mean, I really do. You know, we live on opposite sides of the country, but I promise you, if I were to see her somewhere, I would go running right up and give her a hug and just be as happy as can be, because the painful part of our relationship is over. Anything we get to have now is freeing. If you have a soul contract that's cycling, meaning that your only purpose in being in each other's lives was to make you, you know, not be in an abusive relationship, or to make you not put up with abuse, to make you not put up with a narcissist. Those types of people should be cut out for good, because you can't have, that's not, you will only replay the contract, okay? It is just almost unheard of to be in that kind of relationship and be free of the contract or the karma. So you should definitely cut people out of your life when they're no longer a vibrational match. Now, here's the flip side of that. if you're working on your soul stuff and you're working on your vibration and your frequency and you're just, you know, doing great, they're not going to be a match for you, so they're going to go away no matter what, right? Now, what's so interesting about this friend and I, you get that we both ended up a decade later about the same frequency. So isn't that magnificent? A decade later, we ended up about the same frequency, which I thought was pretty amazing. So, you know, it's not just it's not always a Band-Aid moment where you have to rip it off. If you change your frequency, change your vibration, they'll go away on their own. And you don't have to have these big things where you just rip people out of your life, because you will it'll happen very naturally, very organically, and very easily, because your vibration takes you in different directions, in completely different directions, which is a much better way than pulling it out the other way. Okay, so, you know, the energy that we're into, I want to say this, it's almost like we're seeing instant manifestation, okay? So really think about where it is you're thinking, what it is you're thinking, and know that those thoughts could be instantly manifesting in your life. So be very mindful of them. Be very mindful of where you're letting your thoughts go and how you're letting your thoughts manifest, because we are. So if you, you know, I don't want to go to my friend's little thing this afternoon. I don't want to go, so I'm just going to tell him I have a headache. You're probably going to manifest a headache. I mean, that's where we are now. We're in the place of nearly instant manifestation. So be mindful of that. Be mindful of what you're manifesting, because we are in the place of just almost instant manifestation. Also, be really careful about picking up foreign energies that aren't yours. Think of it like psychic mud, psychic debris. It's not just spirit attachments we have to worry about now. But someone can get really upset, fling a great deal of psychic debris, and then you step in it like mud. Right? And now you're carrying around a huge chunk of psychic debris that's not even for you. Okay, it's not even for you. So be mindful of that as well. A good, you know, clearing, doing a guided meditation on clearing your chakras, a guided meditation on clearing your energy field would be very, very positive. All of that would be really good as well. Okay, also, if you'll give me feedback, I have a new headset on. It's actually hurting my head right now. But I'm wondering if it's coming in clearer than the one I'm usually wearing, because I was getting a lot of complaints that one was cutting in and out. And this new one is a really good one, I'm hoping, and it has a different kind of microphone. Okay, guys, so that is about it for tonight. I didn't want to keep us longer than an hour, but let's do a guided meditation together, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you just to focus on your breath, exhale fully, inhale white light, inhale peace, inhale love, exhale out all resistance, exhale out all the worry of the to-do list, the traffic, worrying about the week, just let it all go in your exhale, then come back in and breathe in light, breathe in peace, breathe in love. You are completely surrounded by a healing circle of angels. Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Sakil and Archangel Raziel, and Archangel Metatron, Archangel Raguel. And they are here to completely clear your energy field. So I want you to visualize the energy space around you, okay? And it's swirling and swirling and swirling. And as it swirls, everything that is not you or not in your highest good now lifts up, okay? It lifts up to be removed by the angels. They have like a filter up above you. And so it just clears out everything that is not yours. And now I want you to picture this white light from the angels. It's going to start at your toes, and it's going to go up through your toes, through your feet, then up your legs, this warm, healing light. Now I'm up into the main part of your body, moving up through your abdomen, and then up through your chest, okay, up through those lungs, through that heart. We got that warm energy moving up, moving up, moving up, up through your shoulders and up through your head, all the way out your crown chakra on top. Now, this energy is also acting like a river of energy, flowing. It's clearing you. It's clearing any psychic debris, any negative energy, any negative thought forms. It's just clearing all of that away, up and out, up and out, up and out it goes. Now we're going to ask the angels to clear and balance every chakra, starting from the root all the way up to the crown. Every chakra being open and balanced, open and balanced, open and balanced. Oh, excellent. Now we're going to at last fill you with purple light. We were using the golden light before. We're using purple light now. Excellent. Good job. Good job. Good job. Okay. All right. You guys have a fantastic week. Have an amazing week. You can, if you're new to the class, remember that the group has a chat form at Welcome to Earth 101 on Facebook that I can add you to. That you're welcome to join us. I do not do, and I noticed several people called in, and when I said I wasn't going to do readings tonight, they hung up. I do not do readings on air during this class. So, I mean, if you're having a problem, the best way to get help here is to join the class, because I don't take phone calls from people who aren't part of the class during this during the class time, okay? All right. So have an amazing week, and I will catch you all in the Facebook group, okay? Namaste.